Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Let's first start off with saying, go Birds.
But like, what the hell is going on before the even start of it?
You mean like in the first 6 seconds?
The spit thing? Yeah. And then also somebody got injured?
First 6 seconds. Well, the injury was someone from our special team, so like, man. But yeah.
It just looks so sad on the cart.
But did you see the video that looks like it shows Dax spit on Jalen Carter first?
Oh no, that's all over now. Like that's fully proven that he.
I had 10 minutes
Dax,
of social media today, so
yeah. So Dax spit towards Jalen, and then Jalen came over, and then they had words, and then Jalen spit back at him. So like NBC was like fully like showed the whole video.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows.
They're not gonna fucking like. Torch the Cowboys for that then, but you know, anyway, we still won, so fuck that.
But I saw somewhere that the Cowboys, the whole team, got fined $10 million for the brawl.
Good.
I haven't seen anything about the Eagles, but
yeah,
it's a fun way to start one the season and two a new like year of rivalry.
After it happened, I was at work last night till like midnight, so pretty much till the game was over, because of the rain delay. And my coworker Penny and I were watching it, and literally it started, and I was like, Penny! She's like, "What?" And I was like, "They threw him out." And she's like, "What?" Yeah, it was horrifying. Anyway, we're gonna jump back into Colleen Stan part. Two, because we're on a little bit of a time crunch, and boy, do we have a lot of information to cover.
Ooh.
So just to give a little refresher, Colleen Stan, was 20 years old when she was hitchhiking in 1977, when she was picked up by Cameron Hooker, Janice Hooker, and their infant daughter. And Cameron decided to kidnap her and make her a sex slave. And then eventually, like, 2 years or, like, a year into it, I think, Cameron and Janice went to Colleen saying, like, hey, there's this company that knows you, knows where you live, knows where your family lives, and if you do anything against us as a slave, they'll kill them and torture you. So they forced her to sign a slave contract, essentially.
I like that you set up this PowerPoint presentation as if it was like for a school presentation.
I put my name on all of my PowerPoints because how will you know it was made by someone else? Or how will you know it wasn't made by someone else? Thank you. And I don't know if you remember, if people are like now tuning in and didn't really listen through the first one, but like, how could a wife like let a husband get a sex slave? Like, what happened there? Janice and Cameron made like a little deal after they got married. I don't know if you guys remember, where Janice was like, I want a baby, and Cameron was like, well, I want a sex slave. So they, you know, marriage is all about compromise, and they compromised. Sort of. Cameron still abused Janice, but, you know, all right. Are we all caught up?
She got a baby, so it is about compromise. She got what she wanted. He got what he wanted. Exactly. I would like to apologize when I'm going to have my mic off for most of this because my one-year-old is home and he is just being a wrecking ball right now. So I'm going to have my mic off for most of this.
Okay.
But when I do turn it on, if you hear some background noise and think that like there's a cat being strangled, it's just my infant, not an infant, toddler, baby, whatever, screaming.
It feels like for someone that has three children, should know what stage they're labeled as.
I think technically he's a toddler now because he's over one. And he's definitely toddling around. But I also think that he's not considered a toddler until he's like two.
A toddler feels too old for one. But he feels young, so.
I
think newborn is the first like month, and then it's infant for the first year. And then I don't know. I think maybe after one is like baby. I don't know.
He's a wrecking ball is what he is right now.
Yes. He is trying to make as much noise as possible. Tell us about Colleen.
Okay, great. So right where we ended, sorry, let me just refresh my notes. So like Cameron was like torturing Colleen pretty steadily. Janice was like starting to like get a job and everything, and Janice would go through like moments where she would be super pissed at Colleen because she thought that Cameron was giving her unnecessary like attention.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of moving parts in this family dynamic, if you want to call it. So we're gonna start in 1979. This is, remember, Colleen was kidnapped in 1977. So the start of that year, Colleen was in the box that lived under their bed, in like a coffin shaped box, which Drew, there's a picture of it, through the slide. When Janice gave birth to the couple's second daughter, Colleen was there for another Christmas when she turned 22, and New Year's. With the second baby in the house, Janice had to get an evening job to help support the family as well. During this time, Cameron used this, you know, free time to rape Colleen, which, if you remember from the first episode, he was not supposed to be allowed to rape her. Mm-hmm. Janice, part of her, like, stipulations with, you know, bringing home a sex slave was all like penetratory, like sex, like penis, vagina, whatever, would be between Cameron and Janice.
And that's part, wasn't that part of why she started getting angry at Colleen?
Yeah. Like she did not want Cameron to assault her more than torture. It's a weird gray area that we're in right now.
I think that maybe she didn't consider it like cheating what he was doing before, but then if he had sex with her, rape, that would be considered cheating.
Yeah. Well, and like the thing was, like, Janice in a way wanted someone to take the like violence for her, because before, Cameron was being just as like abusive and like torturing her, and he still like did on occasion, but he had Colleen like as his outlet now, so Janice kind of like had less torture and like abuse. Cameron had always used a condom with Colleen because he knew he couldn't afford to get her pregnant. He also couldn't let Janice know, and if Colleen got pregnant, Janice would definitely know.
Imagine how mad she'd be.
He would suspend Colleen naked from the frame in their trailer while he sat and watched TV. Sometimes Janice would also just join him watching TV while Colleen just hung there pretty much. He started getting a little bit more trying new things for his torture. We spoke about how they like moved from the house they were renting to like a trailer, so it's smaller space. He would drive her to an isolated dirt road where he would just force her to run. If she didn't run, he threatened to put a chain around her neck and drag her behind the car. Colleen is at, like, she's at 2 years now in her captivity. Like, she's barely seeing sunlight. She's getting fed maybe, like, I think I said 4 to 5 times a week. Like, water is probably not so great either. Like, she's in really bad health. And now he's making her, like, do physical, like, exertion, too, as a new form of torture. He would also take her to a lake and have her swim 10 laps naked. One time he had his children in the car, the oldest being 2 at the time, just, like, waiting until they were done. At home, he would continue having her run. This time he would give her, like, a specific route and say, if you're not back by this specific time, he would call the company. So he's logging, he's, like, having her train for a marathon or something.
I forgot about the threat of the company, and I was waiting for you to, like, stop, and I was gonna be like, why didn't she run away when she was running? But that's, he does have that hanging over her.
Yeah. Like, I forgot. This, he just made her, like, run miles or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I will say, Colleen kind of turned the running into a positive. Like, she really enjoyed this time outside, just because she wasn't, from what I understood, she wasn't accompanied by him or Janice.
And she wasn't in, like, a box.
Yeah. So she got to, like,
some me time. Have air.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it came to an end when a neighbor had stopped her once just to chat. Not about, like, anything, like, concerning or, like, damning or anything, but they just wanted to, like, have, like, a quick little conversation. But Cameron found this out and was like, no, you're not going outside anymore.
That is so... She, like, let's pretend for a second that she, like, legitimately lived there and was running for exercise. She's in the middle of a run. You're gonna stop her to have a chat? It's so annoying. As a runner... annoying.
As a person that goes to the gym like 3 to 4 times a week, when I'm in my workout, I'm locked in. Like, don't talk to me. You are ruining my flow. Anyway, Colleen also was going back to making macrame plant holders at night while she was chained to the toilet. This was another way for the couple to, like, well, the hookers to gain money. One night she ran out of material to complete the design and had to alter it. When they found this out, they punished her and suspended her from the frame in the house with her feet hanging off the ground. The wires were taped to her breasts and inside her thighs, and they administered electrical shocks. While also playing TV in the house or the trailer, in order to drown out her screams. We've already talked about how Cameron really enjoys a DIY project. So he started, hold on a second.
I don't like the face that you made when you started to say that.
Sorry. He made a new torture, like, bound, like, binding device sort of thing. It was shaped like a T. She was getting out of the shower, and which usually means that he was about to rape her, but he instead blindfolded her. Took her arms and strapped them to the crossbar of the T and the ankles to, like, the foot thing. And then he claimed he was doing this not as punishment, but because he wanted to. Then the T mechanism had, like, a wrench mechanism, I guess. I'm sorry, I'm so not, like... construction.
You're not up to date in torture terminology.
Not really. So he was able to use a wrench, which turned a mechanism that the part of the T, the top of the T, so where her arms were, would stretch out. He really enjoyed the tension going in her body as he continued this. It was pretty much stretching her, like just pulling her arms out of the sockets. She was in so much pain, she could hardly breathe, and she passed out. When she came to, she begged him for mercy, and then he raped her. Once he was done, he started it again, increasing the, like, tension and everything. In one of the, like, parts of, like, the research that I've saw is that, she could have died. If not one of the straps that were holding her arms broke from all the strain. However, it left her with a dislocated shoulder, which, oh my God.
Yeah.
She was able to knock it back in place by hitting her arm hard against the side of the box.
Jesus.
Yeah. Time later, they gave her what I'm assuming is a beer, but with her poor health, she got tipsy really quickly. And then they forced her to perform oral sex on Janice. She was then put back in the box while Janice and Cameron had sex above her, because the box, again, was right under their bed. So, yeah. In the fall of 1979, Cameron took her to a job site and scared her into believing that one of his coworkers was also a part of the company. On the way back home, he made her remove her pants and masturbate with the handle of his whip. He also said that the slave collar that was around her neck, that said Kay, her name, was inviting too many questions. But the company, he said, insisted that she wear some kind of slave identification. So using a needle, he pierced her labia and attached a gold hoop earring to it as her new identifier.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Colleen's new project during the fall was she was going to dig a hole around one of the storage sheds in their, like, backyard, I assume. To pretty much make a new torture chamber for herself and Cameron. She was digging a hole, lining it with bricks. And Cameron was saying that, like, at least he told her, I don't think he told Janice yet, that he was planning on growing and expanding to have 4 or 5 slaves. And he told Colleen that it would be her job as senior slave. Hashtag promotion. Sorry. I couldn't help it.
I did laugh. I was just muted. I feel like I shouldn't have, but then...
I feel like I shouldn't have said it, but, you know, we're...
Sinister and sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I will say that last episode, we were really heavy on the sarcasm, and I feel like usually we try and tone it down when we're, like, I don't know, talking about the victim. But we did not. I think it's because we were so heavily uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's a very uncomfortable episode.
Yes. And so we're just letting the sarcasm fly. So it's okay. It's a coping mechanism.
I'm hoping.
If we don't laugh, we'll cry. So anyway, Cameron told her, as her job is a senior slave, that it would be her job to torture the new girls into submission. Which also, I feel like, I don't think he would want her doing it all, because
he gets the pleasure out of
I think he would be there and probably like it more if, like, she did some of it.
Yeah, I think he'd
be doing it all.
I was going to say he would probably get some thrill out of watching her do it, knowing that he's making her do it.
Yeah.
And it's all probably
all the control and shit.
And, like, it might be like knowing that Colleen doesn't want to torture this new girl, and the torturing itself is a form of torture. I don't know. It's very deep.
Yeah. Oh my god, I lost my spot. Sorry. Okay. So December of 1979. So her second Christmas with them, they actually asked her what she wanted. She said that she wanted a Bible. She didn't get her gift until January 11th. You know, Santa had to come around again. And now, after her chores were done, she would bow her head and ask permission to read her Bible before going into her box at night. It was granted, and she was chained to the toilet and would spend her evenings reading. In 1980, she was given some new clothing, even some underwear, which she wasn't allowed to wear, according to her slave contract. Cameron had taken her panhandling in Reno. He had her do this again later on at a mall in Red Bluff, where a policeman actually told her to move on. And she was so, like, just to show her level of, like, I guess mind control or brainwashing, like, she said nothing to this police officer who's coming up to her and just ran back to Cameron because she was afraid that the company would, like, see this and punish her for it. In 1980, so we've got Colleen, Cameron, Janice, and the two little girls in the house. They, Janice also, she now, before she was working an evening job, now she had to take a day job on. So Colleen was left at home with the children.
Well, oh, okay, never mind. So he was working?
Yeah, Cameron was, he worked at a local, like, lumber yard, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So Colleen was left at home with the girls. She... During this time, she was also moved out of the box, and she was allowed to sleep in the back bathroom of the trailer, where a chain would still be locked around her neck. But it made it was there was enough slack on it that she was like able to like move and like stand up and everything. Part of her new duties was she had to cook for the entire family. However, everything was criticized, and she was frequently beaten. She was also allowed to eat with the family, just not at the table, on the floor beside the table. I'm not sure exactly what Janice's day job was, but something that she could take homework, because she would come home with, like, extra work that needed to be done, so she'd have Colleen just do that for her overnight. Colleen got upgraded to her sleeping bag on the living room floor now. So they had to make adjustments when they realized that Janice's job wasn't paying for the overtime for this extra work. So they got Colleen hired there so she could do the work and they would get paid for it.
I'm worried. We know that this, like, ends up going to trial. I'm worried that the defense is going to be like, she wasn't being held against her will. Look at all the opportunities she had to escape. She was choosing
to. I feel like they're going to use the contract she signed against her and be like, she willingly joined this.
She had a thing. She had, like, a kink for it. That's, I'm concerned that they're going to.
Then they're going to use all the times that she didn't escape as evidence. Yeah. Like, she signed a contract. She wanted to be there. Look, she didn't run away when the cop was talking to her. She would go on runs through the neighborhood and didn't run away.
She got a job. Yeah,
she was home alone with children and she didn't run away.
They were going to be angered by the trial. Continue.
So they got Colleen hired there. Cameron was able to do this because her social security number and date of birth were on documents in her purse when they kidnapped her. They got her like set up using her real name. And this was 3 years after she went missing and her name was on company records and alerted no one. Because I know, like, Drew last time was like, is anyone looking for her? They were, just not 3 years afterwards.
I'm surprised that they were willing to let her go get a job and use her real name and social security number and stuff in case people were looking around. I feel like that was either a big risk or they were... They either figured they had a plan or they were just, like, really stupid and didn't consider it.
Yeah. Cameron's torture continued. During this year, he started taking her to the forest and leaving her there naked all night. He would go pick her up in the morning. He also had her start writing a diary and to write down all the things he had done to her since she had first been captured. Which I feel like you could look at this, like, two separate ways. Like, one being, like, the defense is, like, because, sorry, hold on a second. He also had her write, like, love letters in this diary. Which you could look at this and be like, oh, the defense is saying that, like, she loved it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But also, like, I'm sure Cameron got some sick thrill after reading, like, her account for what he did to her.
Yeah. Reliving it.
Yeah. Colleen learned around this time that flattering Cameron and telling him she loved him meant less torture. So that's what she used as, like, survival. In the summer, she was allowed to garden, and she even had conversations with neighbors. Couldn't go past gardening, though. Randomly and occasionally, she would return to the box. She never really had any... She didn't know why. There was no rhyme or reason. Cameron would just put her in there randomly. Sometimes under the bed, Colleen could hear Cameron still beating Janice. Cameron also had told Colleen on occasion during the summer to take the kids outside so he can whip Janice. Janice, in turn, started, berating and, talking down to Colleen, like, pointing out all the things that she's doing wrong in order to encourage Cameron to beat her more than Janice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're trying to, like, instead of just having Cameron not beat anyone, they're like, he's gonna beat somebody. Let me try and make it so he beats her more.
Yeah. Someone's gotta have the blame, so we've gotta push it off. Colleen also Janice would also, like, give Colleen, like, new clothes and makeup, and on two occasions at least, they went out to a bar where they met guys, and Janice would seeming like she would go hook up with one of the guys while Colleen was just there to, like, entertain the other. This year, Colleen also joined many family outings. She went skiing with Cameron's family. She would go shopping and water skiing. Like, this is a picture of Colleen, Janice, and the girls. During this year, she was also allowed to call her father's home. Using a payphone at a gas station, Cameron was standing right beside her, ready to cut the phone off if, like, the conversation was going a way he didn't want to. Colleen called, and her sister Bonnie answered. She asked where she had been. Colleen said that she had been staying with some friends. After about 5 minutes of, like, just casual chit-chat, Cameron said that was enough, and Colleen promptly said goodbye and hung up. After that, she was allowed to start writing home. Of course, all letters were going through Cameron and making sure that it wasn't anything not allowed. In the fall of 1980, more calls were allowed between her and her family. Colleen never realized, like, it's kind of like up there with the random time Cameron wanted to have a conversation with her after telling her that, like, you're gonna be silent the entire time. Like, Colleen had no idea why Cameron, like, okayed this and was suddenly changing his tune, but she was very happy to hear from her family and wasn't questioning it. You remember how I said that, like, the year before, she was digging back by one of the storage sheds and, like, laying brick and stuff? So after a couple years, the new dungeon was set up and good to go. There was a trap door on the floor of one of the sheds with a ladder that would go down and, like, be pulled up. It was deep in order to make a ceiling high enough for her to be hung up on. She had her sleeping bag, her Bible, a portable radio, and a chair down there. When she finally was moved in there, Cameron took the ladder and told her that if she was found by, like, family or whoever, to say that she used the cellar as a quiet contemplation for her Bible study. Which, okay. I would have more questions if someone told me that. But, you know. After the first couple nights down in the new dungeon, they were hit with heavy rain. When Cameron went to go visit her and check on her, she was in knee-deep water. They were unable to, like, get the water out and, like, re-secure the dungeon. So they were like, this isn't going to work. And back in the box she went. Christmas of that year, 1980, she was allowed to send home a blanket for a baby that had been born while she was away. She was also allowed to make a phone call home. And the hookers gave her another Christmas present. They gave her a new sleeping bag. In February 1981, so the following year, she was moved out of the box again and allowed to sleep on the floor in the living room. Cameron began getting really tired of Janice's constant criticism of Colleen. Things got worse when Janice found the diary and that had the love letters and everything. Oh, also fun thing. The eldest daughter in the house also accidentally called Colleen mom.
Oh, I bet Janice hated it.
Oh,
she was pissed. To be fair, I'd be pissed too.
Yeah. She was pissed.
How old is the oldest daughter?
She's probably like 3 or 4 at this time.
Yeah, I'd be mad.
Because they got her, so she was an infant in 77 and it's 81. So what is that, like 4? Like, yeah.
Yeah. You put me on the spot. I wasn't prepared to do math.
Given her like an active role in raising their children. She's living with them.
She's babysitting them while they're at work.
Right.
Both the kids are probably very confused.
He dropped the baby off and he said, that's not babysitting, and then he ran away.
Hi, little lady.
So as punishment, Cameron took her to the forest, tied her up between two trees, and whipped her.
No. Punishment for what?
That's
because Janice was mad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So annoying.
In March, Colleen was told that the company had decided to let her visit her family. Cameron
thing is really, it's so annoying.
I know. Cameron said that he had to put up $30,000 in order to make this happen, so she needed to be really appreciative. He also said that phones would be tapped and the house would be bugged. And if anything went wrong, the house would be swamped by security. But first, Colleen had to submit to, like, punishment. So she would have to be hung up and whipped, like, a lot. They took her to Cameron's father's farm in Oregon for the beating. Janice, the children, and the family dog were waiting outside the barn as Cameron strung her up from a rafter naked. Suddenly, a dog barked, indicating that, like, someone was coming. And Cameron's father walked into his barn. It was believed that the barn was, like, so dark that he didn't see Colleen. But, you know, it was sketchy now, so they had to untie her and leave the barn. During which, the eldest daughter asked Colleen, why were her wrists so red?
I was kind of wondering how much, like, what the daughters are taking in of all this, because they're looking at this wildly dysfunctional, horrific household.
From, like, what I've known, or what I've read, is that they are keeping it away from the girls, the, like, torture and abuse, but Colleen is their, like, live-in babysitter type thing. On the day she was supposed to go visit her family, everyone wished her well. The two little girls even kissed her goodbye. But Cameron just drove her around for about an hour and then returned her to the house and snuck her in the shed. At night, he put her back in the box.
So he got her hopes all up about a visit and then
was
bitch, get back in the box.
So the visit still happens. Don't think that, like, I think he wanted to, like, really, like, assault her first, just to, like, further, like, cement the abuse that if she did something wrong, like, this is what she's expecting. But he told everyone else that, like, she's going to go for a trip, so he had to make that look real. After that night, the next few days, she was hung up repeatedly and savagely beaten until one final test where Cameron had her place a shotgun in her mouth and pull the trigger. Colleen did this without hesitation, and the gun had blanks in it, so she was obviously fine. Later in March that same year is when Cameron actually took her to see her family. He first dropped her off at her grandmother's house. She had a quick visit in there, and they arranged to go to church together the next day. Then she went to her father's place. Cameron left her there. He didn't go inside. Her stepmom and sisters were there, and her mother, who lived nearby, came over as well. They asked her where she had been for the past 4 years, why she hadn't stayed in touch. They didn't want to put too much pressure on her, though. They were afraid that they would, like, push her away forever. They were concerned that she was in a cult. So the police had given up long ago on trying to find her. At the time they assumed that she was just a simple runaway. Colleen did want to tell them the truth, but she was still very afraid of the company. And that night, Colleen and her sister Bonnie stayed up late that night, catching up. The following day, Colleen went to church with her grandmother. After the family had lunch, the phone rang. It was Cameron saying he was 10 minutes away to pick up Colleen. When he arrived, he introduced himself as Mike, her fiancé. They asked for his phone number, but he said that he was in the middle of moving, but once they were settled, he would call them to exchange numbers. Bonnie, her sister, was worried. Colleen seemed strange around him, but she hadn't always been so affectionate with, like, past boyfriends, so, like, wasn't completely abnormal. This photo in particular, the one we're looking at right now with Colleen, like, her arms are around him. Mm-hmm. That was when her stepmom wanted to take their photo, and Colleen trying to, like, further sell the story of, this is my fiance. Ah.
Yeah.
She needed to play that convincing part.
Colleen. And imagine getting that visit with your family after years and then knowing that you have to leave them now and go back.
Yeah. On the road home, Colleen was also able to convince Cameron to stop at her mom's house in order to say goodbye, which she did. When they got back to the trailer, it was empty. Janice and the girls were staying with her family. Colleen was then raped and returned to the box. For the following 3 years, Colleen was only allowed out when the children had gone to bed. So during those 3 years, like, the daughters thought, like, Colleen had, like, gone forever.
So she was just fully all day long in the box.
Yeah, until, like, it was nighttime and, like, Cameron wanted to torture her.
I wonder why. I wonder why they went from, we're giving her all kinds of crazy freedoms to, let's keep her in the box for 20 hours a day.
I have a guess.
True. Yeah.
The children were getting older and starting to ask questions about, like, who's Colleen? Like, and then also calling her mom.
I guess they probably have to worry about, like, telling people, too. Like, mentioning, I don't know.
Because they're getting old enough to start talking.
Right.
And telling people.
Things that aren't normal in the household.
Yeah. So Janice was probably like, she needs to go back in the box because of all this.
Yeah.
And then also, under it all, she was just like, she called her mom.
She went back to only eating like 4 to 5 times a week. Her weight decreased dramatically. Being left consistently in the dark, too, her hair began to fall out. Gross. In the summer, the hookers went away for 3 days on a vacation. She was left in the box with a quart of water and a packet of cookies to survive.
How long did you say the vacation was?
3 days.
I'm sorry, we haven't mentioned it yet, but I feel like their last name is ridiculous.
Hooker?
Yeah.
Okay.
The hookers? That's,
yeah.
It's like prostitutes.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And to remember, they're in California. The temperature during this time soared up to like 120 degrees Fahrenheit. During which, like, Colleen is just like dying. She managed to kick the end of a box, the box, to open it to get air. She could have kept kicking, but she feared the consequences, so she just wanted a little draft. Sorry, someone in the hallway is making noise. Whenever Janice and the children were gone, Colleen was taken out and tortured, and yeah. Cameron then started tying her lower legs to the back of her thighs and then handcuffing her. He had her sit on the toilet with a rubber gas mask with the eyes taped over and almost all of the air holes taped over except one. He then would place his finger over that one little, like, breathing hole until she was on the verge of suffocating, then would let up and let her, like, breathe.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah.
That's a very creative way to torture someone.
Yeah. During that session, let's call it, he got tired and needed a break, so he grabbed a sandwich, but kept her tied up like that for 2 hours, to the point of where she lost feeling in her legs. In April 1982, Janice was in the hospital for 4 days. During this time, Cameron had full use of the trailer, so he used all of those hours for torture and abuse. At this point, the lack of light had made her bones really brittle, and while she was tied up, part of her big toe came off.
Oh my god.
Cameron then was pissed and started hitting her more because she was bleeding on the floor.
Wow. How dare she?
Yeah. So that was April 1982. We're gonna jump to October 1983 now. She was transferred back to the dungeon under the shed. She was given some clothes. They also gave her an infrared lamp down there to help keep her warm. After a week of while she was down there, so the daughters were like told, don't go in the shed, like it's dangerous, stay away from it. Mm-hmm. They had their niece over. She decided to peek inside the shed. But Cameron, just this, like, they caught her before she, like, went, like, all the way in to discover Colleen or anything. Cameron was, this was enough, so he moved her back under the bed in the box. Later that year, 1983, Cameron stopped raping her for some reason. This slowly built like a friendship between Colleen and Janice. They started spending more time together and like bonding over the Bible.
I thought you were going to say bonding over the box. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Bonding over the Bible. Cool. Just a slave and her owner. Bonding over the Bible.
On Colleen's 27th birthday, she was given a birthday cake. This was the first time her birthday was acknowledged since she was being held. She was also allowed to work for the family or with the, like, yeah, like have a part-time job outside, but like, all of her, like
a real one.
Yeah. But like all of her wages would go to the family.
Obviously.
First of all, they had to reintroduce her to the girls though, because the girls hadn't seen her in years.
Mm-hmm.
She was given new clothes and a story to say, and the two little girls were really happy to see her back.
Well, they miss their mom. That's a little shade I threw at Janice.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. She started sleeping in the bathroom again with a chain around her neck. Colleen found a job as a housekeeper in a motel, only a few hundred yards away from where she had been originally picked up when she was hitchhiking all those years ago. She was eventually like moved and allowed to like sleep in the living room floor when they gained like more of her trust, I guess. And she even made friends at work. She like went over one of her coworkers' homes and everything and was allowed to work overtime. So she's like getting more time outside the house by herself. Colleen and Janice's friendship grew more. They started going on family outings and going to church together. With more than a year since Cameron had last raped Colleen, he was putting pressure on, I guess, saying God wanted her to have sex with him. And he even convinced Janice to encourage this too.
Why? So he's trying to like talk her into sex instead of just raping her?
I guess. So around this time, he also was like talking about making her his second wife. And like, aww, he was
for a sex slave.
It's a rom-com trope we haven't seen yet. Like he was like telling Colleen that he wanted to take her to Lake Tahoe. He wanted to get her pregnant. He wanted to like have more slaves.
I want to take you to Lake Tahoe, get you pregnant, have some slaves. You know, the things.
He was also like telling like Janice, she's like, the Bible, like we, like they, like some of them have like multiple wives. I can have multiple wives. Like you guys have to honor your husband. But, like, totally distorting things. Like trying to keep both of them for marriage or whatever. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So now we're in 1984 when like all of this is like going on. When Cameron was bringing up he wanted more slaves and wanted to marry Colleen, Janice had finally had enough. She was like, this is too far. you're not having more slaves. We're not doing this. Instead of confronting Cameron, she went to Colleen while she was at work one day. She told her that Cameron wasn't a member of the company. Ooh. And Colleen just broke down. Janice still made it seem like the company was real, just that Cameron wasn't a part of it. She wanted Colleen something to fear if she ever went to the cops or if her thought about going to the police.
To be fair, it cost $30,000 for her to be able to see her family, and yet they're all working because they can't afford their family. So, like, it makes sense that they wouldn't be part of the company because it seems expensive.
If I were Colleen, I might be afraid that Janice was lying to try to trick me, to, like, get me to do something that would get me in trouble. Then, like, I would be afraid to believe it if she said he's not a member of the company. Does that make sense?
I feel like at this point, though, because they've spent so much more, like, they had a good relationship as friends at this point recently. And, like, all the Bible study and everything, I think that she had more trust in Janice at this point. So Janice and Colleen both decided to get away from Cameron and escape. Colleen quit her job, and they both went to their pastor. Janice told the pastor that her abusive husband was having an affair with Colleen, while Colleen said, no, Cameron made me his sex slave. And she even told the pastor her real name, like, Colleen Stan. So after they did that, it was getting too late in the day, so they had to go home and get the girls, and Cameron would have been home, and they weren't gonna try to have, like, an altercation with him or anything. Mm-hmm. Janice was worried that being around Cameron, she would tell him the truth and, like, spill the beans, and Cameron would just murder them both. So they came up with a lie, where Janice was going to say that she was feeling ill and she needed to sleep in the living room in order to avoid him. The next morning, Cameron went to work, and Janice and Colleen packed their things, and they went to Janice's house. Janice's parents' house, sorry. Colleen called her dad, who then wired her bus fare to get home. That night they were at Janice's family's home. Cameron came over, and Janice and Cameron had a conversation while Colleen stayed in one of the back bedrooms with the girls. Cameron ended up leaving. I guess he just gave up or something. The next morning, Colleen was dropped off at the bus station. Janice begged her not to go to the cops. She wanted to give Cameron a chance to change. Before Colleen got on the bus, she called the trailer. Cameron picked up. She told him that she was about to leave and go home, and she could hear Cameron on the phone crying.
Oh no, he's sad.
No, I'm more, why did she call?
I don't know. Closure?
Her feelings about them are probably very fucked up and confusing.
Yeah.
Okay, but also just, like, get on the bus and leave.
I mean, she does.
Does she? Is this, yeah, like, the end?
No.
Okay, so then just get on the bus and leave.
So she makes it home. She tells her family about the kidnapping, about her years in captivity. She omitted details about the rape, the torture, and the box. She did learn that her family had made every effort to finding her, even visiting Red Bluff, like, around where she was being held, honestly. Colleen and Janice spoke frequently. Janice had, they spoke about, like, how, like, Colleen made it home. Colleen also wanted to know if Cameron had really changed, or whether he was, like, coming down the road to come get her, because he knows where her dad lives. He dropped her off. Apparently, Cameron was so useless, he even called Colleen once and asked her how to make a tuna sandwich. At which point, Colleen's cousin Linda called Cameron and gave him a piece of her mind. So, okay, go off, Linda. Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
She's come home, yeah, and she told her family that she was actually kidnapped.
Yeah.
And we're just like, cool, we're glad you're home.
No, they gave him a piece of their mind.
No, only after he called and asked how to make a tuna sandwich.
Well, yeah, that was the tipping point for some cousin.
Also, that feels like what you would do if you were just like, oops, wrong number. But you just wanted to be like, hey, remember me? Hi. You know when you text somebody and you really wanted to, but then you say, oh, sorry, that was meant for...
it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
I think Colleen had told her parent, like her family, that she just wants to like move on from the kidnapping.
Too bad. Colleen, we're all going to go kill Cameron now. That would have been like an appropriate reaction. Sorry, you want to move on? We'll move on later.
Or, you know, you want to move on? Okay. He keeps calling. So, like, how's that working out for you?
You want to move on and he can't make tuna sandwiches. So, I don't know. What are we doing?
Are we moving on or continue?
Okay, great. So 3 months later, after they left Cameron and Colleen made it home, Colleen got a call from Janice. Janice said that she had gone to the police and told them everything.
I don't trust her.
Interesting.
After Colleen left, Janice returned to Cameron. She got him into counseling with the pastor. They burned most of the bondage gear, his collection of pornography, and pictures he had taken of Colleen. Eventually, though, Janice started fearing for her safety and the girl's safety and left again. That's when she went to the police. The police went out to Colleen. They interviewed her for 3 hours and took extensive, like, photos of all the scars. They found that both of the women's stories matched. They also learned that more than a year before Colleen was kidnapped, the hookers picked up another girl.
Oh.
Marie Elizabeth Spinnick, I think that's how you say her last name. She was 18 years old. She was a hitchhiker in Chico, California, on January 13th, 1976. There's a picture of her a little later, Drew.
You want me to get there?
Yeah. Her. That's Marie. The hookers were driving. They allowed her into the car. They got her to her destination, but just as she was getting out, they grabbed her and forced her back into the car. When Cameron got her down into the basement, she wouldn't stop screaming, so he grabbed a kitchen knife and cut out her vocal cords.
Oh my god.
Do you remember when, in the first episode, when Colleen was warned that he would cut out her vocal cords?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Cameron fully understands the anatomy of where your vocal cords are, but Murray bled a lot. And when she wouldn't stop bleeding, he tried to kill her with a pellet gun, which only wounded her. So, I don't know. Maybe the blood freaked him out. I don't know. I don't know. It's his first one, Drew. When the pellet gun only hurt her, he then strangled her with his bare hands.
No way.
I think Janice said that they buried her in a shallow grave near Lassen Volcanic National Park. Her body has not been recovered to this day. So, police at the time, when Marie went missing, they suspected her boyfriend for her disappearance because the two had had an argument just before she disappeared. Being with the fact that they can only suspect that the story of Marie was accurate, but they don't have a body. They have never been able to charge Cameron for Marie. But the police arrested Cameron on the kidnapping of Colleen and 7 counts of rape, 3 counts of false imprisonment, 2 counts of abduction to live in illicit relationship, and 1 forced oral copulation, 1 sodomy, and 1 penetration with a foreign object. When news broke about this case, Cameron's friends and family couldn't believe the charges. Colleen's home was taken over by the media. They started calling her the sex slave, or the girl in a box, or the girl in the box. Before the trial, she had to undergo a complete physical exam in order to get detailed, like, records and, like, images of the electrical burns, the scarring from the whips and the straps, damage to her shoulder from when it was dislocated, her pierced labia, and just her overall, like, poor state of health from just being held for 7 years, mostly in a box. At the trial, Colleen was dressed in a white dress and flat shoes. Cameron pled not guilty. Due to the shortage of funds in California and the fact that this had not been a murder case, the DA was almost forced to do a plea bargain. However, advocates at the time began a political campaign to prevent this, fearing that he would serve less time than the amount of time that Colleen was held in captivity.
And that would be bullshit.
That would be ridiculous.
So the state...
I feel like he would get out and immediately do it again.
Yeah. So the state granted additional funds and the plea bargain was dropped. In Superior Court of California, the defense argued the statute of limitations had run out on the 1977 kidnapping and that she was free to leave at any time after early 1978.
The statute of limitations has run out for the kidnapping, but she's been in captivity.
So they were arguing that she was a willing participant, while the prosecution countered saying that the kidnapping had been continuous up until when she left in 1984.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. The box and many of the torture instruments were brought into court. The defense argued that they were used in a consensual relationship. Janice was first to testify, which I don't know if I mentioned it. So I know you guys were both getting very heated at both of them in the first episode. Janice doesn't do any time. She gets immunity for her testimony.
So okay.
FYI, even though that Janice was part of, I mean, she could have helped at any point. She also took part in some beatings as well.
You could argue, though, that she was also a victim of Cameron's because, like, she also didn't want to get abused. So I feel like you could argue that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And she made efforts to escape as well. So,
yeah.
How's Marvin doing?
He knocked over my little hand back.
I could tell by your face.
Yeah. So while Janice was on the stand, she outlined the bizarre relationship with Cameron and detailed his different sexual interests. She said her husband had dyslexia, so she had to read him articles on brainwashing techniques that he used on Colleen. She explained the pact that they had.
So this whole thing could be avoided if Janice just didn't read for him?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great. She explained the pact that they had, the baby for the slave. Janice also claimed that she was terrified that he might do her some permanent damage. After a couple weeks of when they were holding Colleen, Janice claimed that she asked him to release her, but he refused. She admitted on the stand to finding the slave contract in one of his magazines and typed out a similar one, making it look official. She said she spoke about the company at the time when she and Cameron went to talk to Colleen about the company. You remember how like her like knees were wrapped up randomly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She said that she had been suffering from arthritis, and at the time she had her knees operated on. Cameron had promised her that he wouldn't have sex with his slave. To test him, she'd given him permission to see if he would really go ahead with it. But when he started raping her, that's when she ran out of the room to vomit. Do you remember that when they brought Colleen into their bed and... Yeah. Janice also admitted to whipping Colleen for his pleasure. She said Colleen would be left in the box because Janice felt jealous. Cameron continued to torture Janice in the same fashion as Colleen. She was only spared the electrical shocks and the box. Cameron tried reading them passages from the Bible, indicating that his wife and his slave owed him absolute obedience. Janice said that she still loved him. He had been a good provider. Without him, she wouldn't have been able to afford her children.
But, she also wouldn't have the children.
I mean, she could have found someone else.
I know. She'd have different children, but she wouldn't, you know.
Yeah. When Cameron brought up making Colleen his co-wife or his second wife, and sleeping with them alternatively, even allowing, even having a baby with Colleen, it was too much for Janice. And that's when she was like, this is enough. We're ending it.
That's too far.
You have to know your hard stops.
Yeah. And I think like throughout, we've been very clear, or at least Janice has been, about what her boundary is. And that is, like, she doesn't want to be replaced as, like, a wife and mother.
Her mother, yeah.
She doesn't mind being replaced as, like, the abusee, but she just doesn't want to be replaced as Cameron's wife or the mother of her children. And so when he suggested introducing another wife, that's unwelcome competition.
Yes.
And that's too far.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She also maintained that, like Colleen, she was a victim. She was not his accomplice. Which, I mean, Drew just touched on earlier, but...
Yeah.
Colleen's turn to testify. She found it very intimidating. The defense maintained that it was a consensual relationship. Pointing out that she told Cameron that she loved him, and they also brought up the love letters, even the photograph that we saw with her arms around him. Colleen insisted that she did these things so he wouldn't hurt her. And she testified that in the first 6 months, she had to have been hung up naked 90 to 100 times and whipped savagely. Her full testimony took 3.5 days.
Wow.
Of, like, detail of all the torture.
Plus, I'm sure she needed to take, like, breaks.
I'm sure. Neighbors were called to testify. One of them said something had been odd happening in that trailer. But...
He's not wrong.
And also had noticed that even though... Kay, which was Colleen's slave name, had enjoyed gardening and was gardening a lot. She never tanned, which was interesting. They called the hooker's daughters, who were now 9 and 7 years old, to testify as well. The most damning piece of evidence were photos of Janice and Colleen being hung up and a photographic negative of Colleen's slave contract that had been found, even though the original one was burned. Cameron takes the stand in his own defense.
Good.
We ready? So he started off by saying that he had been long fascinated with bondage, discipline, Satanism, and masochism. He said Janice shared his interests and let him practice things on her. He also said many people kept slaves, and there were always people willing to become slaves.
Super fine if people are doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you can Google it and find
it. Slavery was a very popular one, so it was fine, obviously.
Mm-hmm. When they, after they were married and they brought up, like, the whole, like, pact of, like, I want a slave, I want a baby, that type thing, Janice and him considered putting a classified advertisement in the paper, asking for some girl who would consent to bondage, but they didn't have enough money.
No fun if it's a consensual slave.
Yeah, I was gonna say, at least then it would be consensual.
Yeah. The day they first saw Colleen, he and Janice were on their way to practice bondage outdoors. When Colleen got into the car,
with their baby, they were gonna go practice bondage outdoors with their baby.
When Colleen got into the car, she appeared spaced out on illegal drugs. He admitted to the initial kidnapping, but the statute of limitations had run out, so they could not charge him. In the basement, he hung her up for about 5 minutes. Then after, he and his wife had had sex. He lost interest in bondage, and he only put Colleen in the crate with a box over her head, not as torture, but to keep her quiet.
Because the last woman who screamed a lot, he had to cut the vocal cords. Oh.
Yeah.
To avoid that box.
The following day, he started to feel bad and remorseful, but he didn't know what to do. So he tied her to the rack. After 3 days, they decided to let her get dressed and take her wherever. But when Janice went to ask Colleen what she would do if they let her go, and Colleen said she would go right to the police, they couldn't do that.
Yeah, like, obviously not.
So when Cameron went down to talk to her, he said she appeared to be suffering from withdrawal symptoms and asked for pills from her purse.
Mm-hmm.
Once this withdrawal symptoms subsided, he still wanted to let her go, but was afraid she would rat on him. So he built the box. She was allowed out of the box each night, and they just talked. There was no bondage or sex.
I thought you were going to say he was afraid she was going to relapse. And so they kept her tied up so that she would detox completely from the illegal drugs that she was on.
No.
That would be a good story.
Right. After 3 months of that nightly ritual of just talking, he said Colleen had asked him about bondage. So they started to, you know, experiment. On the first occasion, she started to cry after being hung up for just 5 minutes. He had mentioned to her that Colleen would usually last about 20. Or, sorry, Janice usually lasts about 20. I guess he's trying to say that Colleen is super competitive. So she was like, I want to try again. And she managed 15 minutes this time without crying.
Way to go.
He admitted to other things, dunking her in the bath, cutting off her hair, forcing her to work, but put a different light on them. He said Colleen kept asking why they weren't having sex, and he said he promised Janice that he wouldn't, but Colleen was displaying affection for him. Janice found the slave contract and came up with the company story. Once the contract was signed, Janice started treating Colleen as a slave. During her second pregnancy, Janice wasn't interested in sex, but to help turn her on, he tied Colleen up, and then, with her consent, spread eagle on the bed, was kissing Janice while touching Colleen. When he started having sex with Colleen, Janice couldn't handle it, so they returned Colleen to the basement, and Colleen was really disappointed.
Yeah.
Sure.
They decided to release Colleen by pretending that they were buying her freedom from the company and she could go anywhere but the police. But first, they needed her help moving into the trailer. During the move, she slept in the box or the bathroom, but didn't need to be restrained. She turned herself into a slave voluntarily and didn't try to escape. On the stand, he maintained that he treated Colleen well, but Janice treated her like a slave, and that depressed her. He offered to take her back to her family, but she didn't want to go without taking drugs. She said her family was abusive, and she wanted to stay where she was. She needed stability of having the hookers' loving family around her.
And also a drug-free home.
Yeah. It's all about the environment.
Yeah.
He said she was happy to stay a slave, but Janice wanted her to go because she feared that they were falling in love. When Cameron hung her up, he went looking for straps, but returned to find Janice administering electrical shocks. Cameron and Colleen started having sex with a little bondage, and then heavy bondage. She would take more pain that he could dish out. They started construction on the dungeon under the shed because the kids were getting older and they needed to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
During one of their sessions, Colleen kicked Janice in the stomach. It was Janice who went to get the matches and burned her breasts.
Oh, dear.
When Janice started to work, Colleen and him had sex. They spoke about being married and having a baby. He knew Janice was seeing other men and didn't care that he... But didn't care because he was in love with Colleen.
This is such a romantic story. It's like Romeo and Juliet.
At Colleen's home, he had introduced himself as Mike because he didn't want troublesome in-laws tracking him down. Mm. Colleen had returned to Red Bluff with him. She went back to the box to save his marriage. Otherwise, Janice would have left him.
Why would that matter if he wanted to be with Colleen anyway?
Lacey, he needed to sort things out with his marriage, and it took those 3 years that Colleen was in that box.
Lacey, she's the mother of his children.
Well, is she? Not what the children said.
So those 3 years when she was in the box or whatever, he was sorting things out with Janice. When Colleen finally came out of the box and returned, Janice and Colleen developed their friendship. Colleen wanted to go back to work, so that's when she got the part-time job, and the bondage and sex began again. He said that Colleen and Janice even began having sex together. Colleen discovered that the company was not real. She phoned to say that she was going back to her family so she wouldn't come between him and his family. He told her he loved her. When she got home, she called him to say that she still loved him and that she found out that Janice returned to him and they resumed bondage. Colleen bombarded him with letters and phone calls, but he didn't write back.
Did she not know how to make a tuna sandwich?
Cameron maintained that he was in the perfect love triangle, but they ganged up on him and had him arrested so the two of them could get back together.
I believe him.
Such a plausible story, start to finish.
Yeah. So that's his whole testimony. Also, on the stand, family testified that she had been around and they knew her as their housekeeper / babysitter, but seemed very much part of the family. The defense called a psychiatrist who testified in the trial of Patty Hearst to counter the prosecution's theory that she was brainwashed. He said, although she had been coerced during the first 6 months, after that, the coercion stopped, and from them on, she was a willing participant.
So once they brainwashed her good enough for 6 months,
she wanted to stay.
Then she was happy to be there, so everything's fine. That's his argument.
Yeah.
Everybody knew what the hell.
The reason I said hey is because the Morbid podcast just posted an episode about Patty Hearst yesterday.
Oh, shout out.
Very on brand.
With the, like, did she say, is she participating, blah, 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 that back and forth. The prosecution ended up dropping the charges of false imprisonment and abduction to an illicit relationship. So they had to withdraw some things. The jury took 2.5 days to find him guilty on all other counts except one, final rape where this jury was divided. Hooker attempted... What?
I remember you saying that he was charged with, like, 7 rapes, which felt weird to me.
Yeah.
So then they had to debate if he did, like, each individual one.
I guess. Weird. Yeah.
Luckily, Colleen kept a diary, so...
The day the verdict was read, Cameron from jail attempted to call Colleen. it's a weird love triangle. They're both trying to get rid of me, but yet I'm still reaching out. Anyway, the judge, however, you know when, like, judges just, I don't, like, do you think they, like, rehearse what to say because they know, like, because sometimes they hit sometimes so right.
Their statements are, like, really good.
Yeah, so I good. Have to imagine that they have, like, a speech prepared.
Oh, yeah. Because
sometimes they say something and I'm like, there's no way you just, like, that's off the cuff.
How could you think that up right
they,
now?
They, I feel like they write it out, like, closing statements, especially if it's a high-profile thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you want, I think you would want to have something prepared for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the judge sentenced Cameron to 104 years. He said, I consider the defendant the most dangerous psychopath I've ever dealt with, in that he is the opposite of what he seems. He will be a danger to women as long as he is alive.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Cameron came up for parole in 2024. From the updates I've seen, there was supposed to be a trial that was pushed back to early 2025, pretty much deeming if he's still a threat, which... He is. He's 69, but he is.
You could do a lot at 69.
Yeah. So pretty much if he is still deemed a threat, he's going to stay in prison. If not, he would go to, like, halfway house and get out. Janice changed her name. I don't know if you were there, Lacey, when I said it. She got immunity when she testified and everything, and continues to live in California. And Colleen survived it all and is still alive. There's a lot of documentaries and, like, books about her as well.
Well, I hope she made a shit ton of money from all of them. I hope she at least a couple things she, like, benefited from, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think during the trial or something, or when the media, like, got a hold of it, there was something in one of the articles I was reading that she was living with her boyfriend, and, like, they brought that up because, like, her dad had to, like, help sneak her back into the house just because with all the media attention, like, I think for, like, a family dinner or, like, Thanksgiving or something. But yeah, that is Colleen Stan, the story of the girl in the box,
the girl who survived the box.
Yeah, she broke out of the box.
Break it free. Yeah.
And
that's the stupid man's face right now.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
That was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
So we hope you keep listening.